continuing with our subject of death, let's today look at some ayat of who causes death. We know for a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes death as such. I mean, Surah Zumar, Surah number 39, Ayah 42 says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allahu yatawaffal anfusa hina mawtiha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى عجل مسمى إن في ذلك الآيات لقوم يتفكرون. Allah takes the souls at the time of their death, and those that die not during their sleep, then He withholds those on whom He has passed the decree of death and sends the others back till an appointed term. Most surely there are signs in this for a people who reflect, who think. This is Surah Zumar, Ayah 42. But do the angels assist? Shall we have a look at see the other ayat and see what they say? Well, let's look at, for example, Surah Sajda. This is Surah number 32, Ayah 11. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرَجَعُونَ. Say, the angel of death who is given charge of you shall cause you to die. Then to your Rabb you shall be brought back. Let's look at another ayah that again talks about angels. Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, Ayah 97. And this is quite, it's scary. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا. He said that surely those whom the angels caused to die, and this is plural, angels, while they are unjust to their souls, they say, فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ. In what state were you? قَالُوا. Then they say, كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That means they will answer, we were weak in the earth. قَالُوا. And the answer will be, أَلَمْ تَقُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ فَتُحَاجِرُ فِيهَا فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. They shall say, was not Allah's earth spacious, so that you shall have migrated therein? So these it is whose abode is Jahannam, and it is an evil resort. إِلَّا الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ مِنَ الرَّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ حِيلًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ سَبِيلًا. Except the weak from amongst the men and the children, and those who have not in their power, and the men and the women and the children, and those who have not in their power the means, nor can they find a way for escape. So if there was an excuse that I didn't do anything because I just couldn't manage, I was too weak, couldn't you migrate, you'll be told. Another verse that brings dread, and again dread from ourselves, and this is Surah number 47, which is Surah to Muhammad, Ayah 27. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. But how will it be when the angels cause them to die, smiting their backs? Now look at a complete contrast. If we look at Surah An-Nahl, which is Surah number 16, this is the Surah of the Bee, and we look at Ayah 32. Absolutely beautiful. And it puts it so well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Those whom the angels caused to die in a good state, saying, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace be upon you, enter the garden, enter Jannah for what you did. And this is the aspiration we must have. 16:32. Nahal 32, I want to die with an angel saying, Salaamun Alaikum, enter Jannah. An aspiration which leads me to lead a life where when death comes, I would want to say, I did my best, and then I left it up to Him. This needs to be our vision statement. This needs to be something we continually tell ourselves. What do we want to do in life? I want to strive to reach my full potential. I want to try my best to do it, so that when death comes, I can say, I did try my best at absolutely everything I did. This is what life's about. Now, what happens? Well, we are aware of two realities in our being. This is the external body we have, and then we have another reality, which consists of our thought and perceptions, our love and affection, our hatred and conscience. And these represent realities that are different from the material body, and I would probably say they are more superior to it because they can actually dominate the material body. And it's a perfect reality because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. This is Surah Al-Shams. He says, I swear by the soul and the one who created it in perfection and then inspired it in knowledge of good and evil. So at death, there is a separation of this material being and this nafs. But this nafs, the soul, is still there. And in a hadith, we find that the soul continually says, if it is a righteous soul, it continually says, carry me to my destination as soon as possible. If it is one that has covered up the truth, it says, don't make haste, don't rush me so speedily into my grave. It is said that when ghusl is being given, and ghusl is a requirement, ghusl is the washing of the body, an angel asks, do you desire to go back to the world? And the righteous soul always says, I never want to be entangled in difficulty and sorrow again. Incidentally, there are so many rewards, so many thawab of giving ghusl to one who has died. The Prophet ﷺ has said that there is not a single believer who gives another believer ghusl after his death, and who, when he is giving ghusl, says, Ya Allah, this is the body of your believing abd. You have taken his soul from him and separated his soul from him. Forgive his sins, forgive his sins. And the moment the one who washes the body says this, continually ask, Afwaka, Afwaka, forgive him, forgive him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the person who is performing the ghusl his sins for a whole year. Can you imagine the thawabs? There's another hadith which says that whoever gives a deceased Muslim the ghusl and takes care of his trust, Allah forgives him his sins. And the Prophet was asked, how does he take care of his trust? And the Prophet said that he does not inform others of whatever defects he has seen in the body. This is why we treat the body with such care, because the soul is there. It has lived in this body. It has been its vehicle for so long. And it's right there watching what we do with it. We're very, very careful at the washing process, because the soul hears the talks. That is why we're told that we should not engage in unnecessary talk near a body and continually recite forgiveness for it, or Quran, or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The body is then given kafan, or the clothes that are put on the body, which are literally unsewn pieces of white cloth. Again, so many ahadith for this. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam says, prepare good quality kafans for your deceased, because that is the beauty for him or her. Another hadith says, someone who takes upon the responsibility of purchasing and giving a believer a kafan is just as the person who took the responsibility of clothing that person until the day of Qiyamah. When Imam Ali alayhi salam's mother, Fatima bint Asad, left this world, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Imam Ali, take my amama and shirt and use them as a kafan for your mother, and tell the women to give her a proper ghusl. Keep a kafan from now. When you go for Hajj and Umrah, take it with you. It will testify for it. When you cry in Tawbah on Laylatul Qadr or any other day, use your kafan to bear witness with your tears on it. Keep it with you when you pray. See the difference the vibes have on it. After all, it will remain with you till the day of Qiyamah. Once ghusl and kafan are given, the body is laid out, so there's salah ala al-mayyit, the prayer for the deceased is recited. And again, there is a wonderful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which says, anytime a believer prays over a deceased person, Allah makes Jannah wajib on that person, as long as the one reciting salatul mayyit was not a hypocrite, nor one who breaks off ties with his parents. Because in these instances, the benefits and rewards will be of no use to him or her. It is good to learn how to recite Salatul Mayyit, because it is the only gift you can take and go when you go to a funeral. What do you take? This is what you take. Your no knowledge of how you're going to pray Salatul Mayyit. Your du'as and your prayers for the deceased soul. It is recommended to pray barefooted, to raise your hands up to the ears at every takbir. It is recommended to pray in congregation. There are so many recommendations, and we need to learn these according to our own schools of thought. I'd like to look at now the hadith relating to the importance of attending and taking part in a funeral. Maybe we don't realize its importance. The Prophet ﷺ said that Prophet Musa once asked Allah what the reward and recompense was for a person who takes part in a funeral. And Allah says, O Musa, I will appoint for him angels so that when he is raised from the grave, they will accompany him with raised flags to the plains of resurrection. The Prophet said, anyone or any time a person takes part in a funeral, for each step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes a million good deeds. A million sins are erased and his rank is raised by a million levels. If he takes part in the salah, a million angels will take part in his funeral and will pray for his forgiveness until he returns. And if he stays until the body has been buried, Allah appoints 1,000 angels, all of whom will ask for his forgiveness until he is resurrected from his grave. Jibreel with 70,000 angels will ask for forgiveness of the past sins for the one who prays over the dead body. And if the person stays with the deceased until he is buried and covered over with dirt and then leaves the body, then for every step he takes from the funeral ceremony until he returns to his house, he will receive the rewards of one qir'at in the scale of rewards, and one qir'at is equivalent in size to the mountain of Uhud. There are so many. I'm just picking out ones that tell us the importance of attending a funeral. Let me just end with another hadith from Imam Ridha. See, Ibn Shahr Ashub, he relates from Musa ibn Sayyar, and he says, Imam Ridha and I were approaching the walls of the city of Tus, and I heard the sounds of mourning and lamenting. He said, I was trying to find out where the sound was coming from when I saw that this was a funeral. He said, at this time I saw Imam Ali Ridha dismount his horse. He proceeded towards the body, lifted it, held it close, and then Imam said, O Musa, a person who takes part in the funeral of one of our friends will have the sins removed from his records, just as the one who has just been born. And then he says, Musa ibn Sayyar says that as the body was being brought near the grave, Imam focused it as his attention of the body, and he placed his hand on the deceased man and said, you have been granted Jannah, and after this hour you will feel neither fear nor grief. And he said, I turned to Imam and said, how is it that you know this person and you've never been to this city before? And Imam Ali Radha says to him, that when you use us as your wasilas, we ask for mercy and forgiveness, and we are there to be able to be your shafis. Now, just before the body is buried, someone holds the right shoulder of the dead body with his right hand, and bringing himself near the deceased person, they recite the talqeen. And the talqeen is actually something whereby one is reminded of one's aqidah in the world. It is said, Isma, Ifham, listen and understand, and the name of the person is taken. And then he's told, Hal anta lalahdi alladhi faraqna alayhi min shahadatan la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa anna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi abduhu wa rasuluhu wa sayyidun nabiyyin wa khatimul mursaleen. Are you still on the covenant you held when we parted, including the testimony that there is no God but Allah, the one without partners, and that Muhammad is his abd and his messenger, the chief of the prophets and the seal of the apostles? And the talqeen goes on at the end to say, when the two angels, the messengers who are favored to nearness to Allah, come to you and ask you concerning your Lord, your prophet, your religion, your book, your qibla, your a'imah, then have no fear and no grief. And say to them, وَقُلْ فِي جَوَابِهَا اللَّهُ رَبِّي, my Allah is my Rabb, وَمُحَمَّدْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِي نَبِيِّ وَالْإِسْلَامُ دِينِي وَالْقُرْآنُ كِتَابِي وَالْقَعْبَةُ قِبْلَتِي. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, Islam is my religion, the Qur'an is my book, the Kaaba is my Qibla. Tell him the names of your a'imma. Tell him death is true, the questioning is true, the questioning of Munkar and Nakir is true, the raising up is true, the gathering is true, the bridge is true, the judgment is true, the opening of the book is true, Jannah and Jahannam are true, and there is no doubt in the coming of the hour of resurrection, and Allah will raise up those who are in the graves. And then a beautiful dua is recited when the body is buried, where one says, Allahumma ja'fal ardha an jambihi, was'id biruhihi ilayk, wa laqihi minka burhanan, Allahumma afwaka, afwaka. O Allah, make the earth spacious on his sides, elevate him with his soul to yourself, reveal him to your proofs. O Allah, we beseech your pardon for him, we beseech your pardon for him. It's so amazing, and it's done so beautifully. Can you imagine so many people who would pray for you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their testimony? And not only is the person who is buried, who dies, forgiven, but those who pray for him too. Where else will we find a religion as beautiful as this? Inshallah, we will continue with death.